Okay, welcome back to the afternoon edition of the Tip TV Finance Show. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and with our guest, Francis Hunt, otherwise known as the Market Sniper. How are you today, Francis?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm speaking to you for a couple of weeks now.
Yes.
Withdrawal symptoms from...
I toddled off to Switzerland, the land of the buzz.
Okay.
And smelt clean air and swam in clean water and ate organically. And got lots of sunshine.
Well, you look very healthy. Very healthy indeed. Okay, well, let's have a look at your first chart, which is apparently copper.
Yes. So, always a theme. What am I looking for? Well, copper is such an integral industrial metal, and it's very tied to the Chinese story. They even use it almost as a semi-precious metal of storage. They've speculated in a different way than the rest of the world. And you've seen the big macro chart. I'm just going to remind everybody that we had the big commodity. China's going to do the growth post subprime crash up to 211, because this theme will come through as well. And then since then, it's been dropping down. And the question we ask in the bottom right corner in the 2016 so far, is that bottoming or is it continuation? And as a technical analyst, Zach, I think you probably agree with me, it's not particularly looking very healthy there. There's a little squeeze and we've got a nasty trend behind us in terms of the wind in the sails. So to me, that looks bearish.
And it's a bit like 2012 or something, or they're going into...
Again, a smaller version, yes. So we're still grinding out lows. I think we've got a shorter time frame chart to follow that. So if we have a look at that slide, you'll see that we've got a pinch and a squeeze. I think we might get a weak rally and then we can roll over. So that's how she's looking. And, you know, I've been on this show and did a similar exact setup when we were at 230, calling for the 200. And so it's working. It's just staying with the trend until it's done, you know. So that points to down on copper. What does that mean? It means the activity still isn't there. It isn't coming back. Or there's gluts in the metal, et cetera, in China.
There was some news hitting the wires, I think, within the last 24 hours that suggested that there might be some supply disruption out of Chile. So maybe that would be the catalyst for that small upward move that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it would be ideal. And then hopefully kind of like a bear flag, I've kind of insinuated that. So not too strong and in a sort of grindy range so that we can then get the capitulation when the next spell of bad news. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I think China's story, we keep getting bled it for a while, then it gets put to bed, all is well, chaps, all is well, and then, oh, another little leg. So if we move on, we're leaving industrial metals, and we're looking now at the offshore Chinese currency, the renminbi, and we know that largely they were the driver of growth, etc., post 08. So they were strengthening against the dollar. That's the red arrow. So in other words, the exchange rate was going down because the dollar is the primary currency there. And we know that since 14, where basically we can't maintain the facade anymore, they've been leaking upwards. And we're expecting more of that. And of course, there were some very interesting spike days when we had, you know, entire devaluation slips. That I've highlighted there as well. So I think
so since the time they said there wasn't going to be any devaluation, we've seen this rise pretty consistently.
Consistently. And the interesting number is we sort of bottomed out at 6, Zach. I don't know if you can spot that. Yeah. So the key round numbers. And we're heading now for 6.75. So, you know, 6.6 is 10%. 6.75, you're now getting into, you know, decent percentage of devaluation against the dollar.
The deliberate policy, because it is a policy of devaluation, is even more apparent if you look at against the basket of currencies, because as of 1st of December last year, the PBOC actually backed targets against that basket as opposed to a dirty peg, as it were. And, of course, that relative stability that we've seen against the dollar is ahead of its official inclusion in the SDR basket next month and also G20. But if you look at it against the basket, I mean, it's like that.
Yeah, very good point. Clear. Yeah, good point. Because they were trying to avoid the Euro-Swiss franc issue of being stuck to one nation. So they're managing it in a group. But the dollar's still the base currency. So I put that one up. So let's move on. So I'm trying to look into the future and say, where's the next crisis or what's going to be the leader of the next negative news and where can we trade that? Because I feel like, you know, I want a short. Australian dollar, US dollar. So once again, the Aussie got pumped up on the China being the growth story from the 08-09. There you see the orange box showing you where 11 was. then you got your squeeze, and then since then it's been down, down, down. And again, I've drawn a rising wedge on the most recent price behavior, so Zach might join me and say he also, I don't know what your feelings are on that, but that looks like continuation again to the downside. Weak grind lines underneath it. And I'm foreseeing a bit of Aussie weakness. So I think this is the theme I'm trying to make a case for. Looking intra-market across, we're looking at currencies, industrial metals, and we're saying, where's the future news? And the future news might once again be another leak out of the China woes.
What's interesting again is just that you're supposed to have had the big recovery of 2016. It's not really there, is it?
Not at all. No, that's very, very... limp.
And we're still way below, you know, the glory days of the other time, which is the key thing with copper and this.
Well, the thing is that so much of the commodity rally is being supported by supply constraints. It's not about demand growth at all.
No.
But because the market for copper is relatively fragmented, and because it has wider industrial applications, it's more difficult to actually engineer a price rise in copper if the demand actually isn't there.
Exactly. Yeah, so you've just got the supply side. Very good. So that's Aussie. So let's look at Aussie against its brethren, its local geographic friend, which is the New Zealand dollar. And again, that's where it topped out. So we've got the 11 highs. Again, the same squeeze. So it was all about the Australian dollar because you had a similar DNA against the US dollar. Smashed it down even harder in some ways. And then chopping and churning and looking again pretty weak. This is a macro, so this is a weekly time frame, and I've slipped a chart in. We're actually in a trade at the moment on this, on the shorter time frame. So if we drop to the next slide, we'll see the lower time frame setup. And again, little squeeze, it's broken, weak little grind during the quiet period just before the weekend, and then spilling off again. And we're thinking it's going to get pretty close to that parity level in making its target. Australia versus New Zealand. So, yeah, that's the theme I've constructed for us today. I think it's a bit like Greece. You know, it never gets dealt with, and it gets put on ice for a while, and then it comes back out again. It keeps rearing its head. It's like the monster that keeps popping, and you hit with a hammer. You're never really killing it. You're just knocking it on the head, and it comes back. I'm wondering if we're going to have a reemergence of this Frankenstein, China.
The other thing is you've got the central banks propping up... housing market and equity markets, and therefore the relationship, the copper can be down there because nobody cares about copper, but they care about the equity market. So they basically fiddle the markets, which are the ones in the spotlight.
Yes.
And the ones like copper or the Aussie dollar doesn't really matter, so nobody's going to be bleating about that.
Absolutely.
So the flagship markets, and probably even on the bond market, I'm sure there are things which are sort of controlled so it doesn't look too bad. But in this case, these markets are telling us that there's a disaster upcoming, but it's just going to be airbrushed away again, isn't it?
I think if you're creating money and you're part of a control structure, you're going to throw it at the benchmark indices of wealth, presumed wealth, everything is okay, which to the layman is the stock market. If we're watching the news, you know, the index is up, okay, great, all is well. Certainly not going to go defend an obscure industrial metal commodity and print money to do that. So your point's well made. So I think that's about it. And then just the final slide. So great September course and program. Get involved if you like what we're doing. Intra-market analysis, technical analysis, volume analysis. You didn't see any of that today. But looking at the big theme and also trying to extract the news of what's coming next and then positioning. And it's not a day trade. It's taking in a view and a position but supported technically. Come and learn how to do that on the Trading Metamorphosis program. September 10th, 11th, we start.
Francis Hunt, the market sniper, thank you very much for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.